Well, my brothers and sisters, we are gathered once again in our Father's house to gather around Him and to receive from Him all the grace, forgiveness, and love that we need, as well as His instruction and conviction, and return praise to Him for all that He has done for us, especially that forgiveness that we so desperately need. Folks, as we gather here today, let us remember the day that we were brought into this kingdom, into His family in our baptism, when we were brought to faith, given new life in Him. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You today, and we thank You so much that You have made it possible for us to be here, that You made it possible for us, Lord, to not just be saved, Lord, but to be able to take that saving, that forgiveness, Lord, that You earned for us on the cross, and to be brought into Your family through the gift of faith and the Holy Spirit who inhabits us, Lord, that we would be able to know You. Lord, we thank You for Your revelation in Scripture, by which we know who You are, we know what You love, we know what You hate, we know what You want us to do. Lord, I pray that You would help us, Lord, as we open Your word, that we would know Your desire for us, Lord, but also we would know the things that You have done on our behalf, making it possible for us to be redeemed, making it possible for us to wear Your righteousness, Lord, so that we are acceptable in Your sight and able, Lord, to be in Your presence. Lord, I pray that You would send Your Spirit to work in our hearts and our minds this morning, that we may know You better. In Your holy name we pray. Amen. My friends, let us stand as we confess our sins to our God and receive forgiveness for those sins. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to You that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against You by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to Your infinite mercy, seeking Your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given Your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, forgives us all our sins. And by Your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of You and of Your will, and true obedience to Your word, to the end that by Your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by His authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, my friends, we have received an incredible gift from this God that loves us so much that He came and died, gave Himself, sacrificed Himself so that we could live. He is truly a majestic God who has made heaven and earth. It is right that we would praise Him.
Your name. declare your greatness. The oceans cry out to you. The mountains, they bow down before you. So I'll join with the earth and I'll sing. The heavens declare your greatness. The oceans cry out to you. The mountains, they bow down.
I thank God for this beautiful sunny day we're going to have. I hope everybody enjoys it. Today's scripture reading, the first scripture reading, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelations. As I have already written briefly, in reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that, through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold of wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Jesus Christ our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Amen.
All right, children, it is now time for the children's message, so come on forward at this time. And I believe Miss Lauren has the message for you this morning.
Good morning. How are all my friends today? It's so good to see you all. Well, come on up and come where you can see. For those that are my readers, can anyone see this word? What does this say? Project. Very good. Has anyone here ever had a special project they were working on? Maybe you were building a fort and it took a few days outside. Have any of you ever done a Lego project? Yeah. Maybe your parents have done like a kitchen remodel, so they'd had that project. Have you ever had projects in your home? Well, maybe when you were building that fort, it took a few days, and maybe some, like, bad storms came through, and it took forever, but once it was done, whew. Or maybe with your Lego project, did you ever build Legos, and then maybe your brother and sister thought, like, oh, I'm going to tip those over, and then you're like, but you rebuild it, and maybe your mom and dad were doing their kitchen project, and they're like, oh, I didn't know it was going to take 8 months to get the refrigerator in, right? But then when it's all done, how does that feel? So good, right? That's really cool. So I have another P word for you, and this one's kind of thinking bigger. Here's my next word. Can any of you read this word? Purpose. Very good. Now, sorry. If I was to say to you, what is your purpose? What would you say? Why do you think God has you here? What is something that maybe he wants you to do or be? What is your purpose? Ooh, that's a big question, isn't it? Well, we do know in God's word that he tells us a few things, right? He tells us that we can go and teach and share his love, right? So I'm going to have you all stand up. Is that important to do all those things? Oscar's going to help me for a second. So maybe our purpose is to go and teach and share God's love, right? Is that a good thing to do? So we're all walking along, right? Go ahead and walk along. Let's go share God's good news. And then guess what? Oh, guess what? Guess what happens? A pandemic comes, and then life's crazy for a few years. But do we still go and tell and share the good news of Jesus? Because that's what he wants us to do. Do we still do that? Yeah. So we're happy. We're marching along. And then, oh, Guess what? Gas is so expensive, we need to change our spring break plans because we are going to drive across the country. But guess what now? Ugh, so expensive. But is that okay? Do we still want to go and fulfill our purpose and share God's love with everybody? We're still going to truck along. Let's march. We're still doing that. Oh, guess what? Guess what? Everything's going really well and life is perfect for now. Do we still want to share God's love with everybody? Yeah. I'm just going to sit down. Very good. So I have one more P word to share with you this morning. I'll start this way. Plan. So in our gospel message for today that we're going to hear, God has a certain plan for Jesus. Do you guys know what that plan is and was? What was the plan that Jesus, what did Jesus do for us? Right, very good. He died on the cross for our sins. Well, in our gospel message today, guess what happens? When Jesus is in town, guess what? The people are kind of like, oh, I think you should leave town, because they were kind of like, didn't want to disrupt things. And they're like, oh, it's scary, you should leave. But did Jesus do that? No, guess what? He fulfilled the plan that the Father had for him. He died on the cross to save each and every one of us from our sins. Now, do you remember what season we're in the church year? Oh, it is the winter, right? It is, oh, well, now it's spring almost, right? But in the church year, it's a season we call Lent. And maybe you noticed some things are purple. During the Lenten season, we're going to hear even more about how Jesus fulfilled this plan. And he stayed with the plan, even though things might seem like, how did he do that? Well, he did it for, can you point to yourself? He did that for you and for everyone in the whole world because he wanted them to live with him in heaven forever. And that is amazing news. So let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for the gift of your word. There's so many things in scripture, Lord, that are hard to understand. But one thing that you've made very clear is how much you love and forgive us. And we ask that you be with us as we share that with everyone that we meet. And we thank you for dying on the cross and saving us from our sins. In your name we pray, and all God's children said, amen. Thank you guys very much for your help.
All right, my friends, it is now time for a little worship. It looks like Mrs. Landgraf has a little worship for us this morning. Any children, 4-year-old through 4th grade, can meet at the White Cross in the center aisle and have a message just for you. Thank you, Lauren. And Oscar, is he gone now? Yeah. I love ministry kids, you know, the willing or unwilling sermon illustration that pops up all the time. My kids would totally solidarity with that, yeah. Although I'm a ministry kid too, so I was the subject of many of my father's sermons as well. So what goes around comes around. All right, my friends, it is now time for to read God's word for us this day. And a continuation in Luke's gospel of Jesus's journey toward Jerusalem. And we all know what's waiting for him there. We all know that this is going to be rough. And this is the season of Lent, the season where we are called to remember our sin, to think deeply about the things that we have done wrong, and not just the surface, you know, not just that, you know, I lost my temper, but why I lost my temper, and what does that say about me, and what is going on in me that caused me to do that, and how is it that I have not valued the person that I, you know, blew up at, how I've, you know, all of the things that go beyond just that surface sin, so that we can fully appreciate and understand how deep and thoroughly we are rotten. Isn't that a great time? It's going to be a fun season, right? But the reason that we do this is not so that we sit there and feel bad about ourselves. It's not about us not valuing us, the thing that God made when he made us. It is about understanding the incredible gift that we receive from Jesus in forgiveness. Because if we understand the depth and the richness of that forgiveness, because we understand the depth and disgustingness of our sin, you know, the idea that as sinful as we are, his grace is greater. As messed up as we are, his mercy is more. And that's what we're meditating on this year, or this season, is not just our sin, but that our sin, as bad as it is, as thorough as it is, as awful as it is covered. And so let's read the text for today as Jesus is, has some more challenges for us as we meditate upon our sin. This is Luke chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He, Jesus, replied, "Go tell that fox. I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" It's an unusual text. Normally, the Pharisees are these people who are like in opposition to Jesus. I mean, there's just a few people, a few Pharisees that we actually, so few we kind of know them by name. You know, the ones that like were trying to follow Jesus, trying to understand what Jesus's message is, trying to be disciples or at least deeply entertaining the concept. But now all of a sudden we have some Pharisees who are seem to be on Jesus's side, right? Or were they? Who knows? Because these people were kind of a little on the manipulative side, you know, they would come and pretend to be on your side just to manipulate you into doing what they wanted you to do. And after all, if Pharisees were on the inside of Herod's planning, were they most likely people who were going to like Jesus? You know, I mean, if they knew, if they had the intelligence of what's going on in Herod's court, chances are they were people who were more into the power brokers thing, and it was probably not so benevolent. But they come to Jesus, and they say, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." Now, a few weeks ago, we dealt with Jesus being out in the wilderness for 40 days, and after he was out in the wilderness for 40 days, he was hungry, right? And that's when the devil came to him and tried to tempt him. And he tried to make him make bread. He tried to make him worship the devil. He tried to make, tempt God. And he tried a whole bunch of things, and Jesus stood up to the temptation very well. And one of the big theological questions is that the only time Jesus was tempted? And I guess in this point, at this scripture, we realize the answer is no, because this was another temptation. This was the temptation for Jesus to avoid suffering. Once again, right? The Pharisees come to Jesus and say, "Get out of town. Herod wants to kill you." And so what does Jesus say? Does he pack his bags? Well, he didn't really have many bags. Did he just like, you know, run for, I don't know, some safe haven someplace in the world? Did he go to some obscure place where nobody would know him or? No, He kind of stands up and makes a really hard stand. You know, if the king is already not favorably disposed toward you, calling him a name is probably not the way to go if you're looking for a long life, right? The Pharisees come to Jesus and say, "Herod wants to kill you." And Jesus responds, "Go tell that fox. I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside of Jerusalem." Jerusalem has a bit of a reputation. This is a figure of speech called synecdoche. It's like when a small part represents the big part. You know, when you talk about your cars as your wheels, like if I say I'm going to take my wheels home after church today, I mean the entire car. You know, just so you guys understand that. When they say no prophet can die outside of Jerusalem, what he's saying is the Jewish people are the ones who kill all the prophets. And they didn't stop with the prophets. Because this is kind of fun. He kills all the prophets and the people who are sent, which would be the apostles, right? That's actually the word used, is apostle. So what Jesus is saying is not only are they going to kill the prophets, they're going to kill the apostles too. And do they? Yeah, they do that too. So this is a good bunch of people. And this is something that really hurts Jesus. And he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, apostles. How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. And so what they did instead, because these prophets were annoying. You understand this? I was watching YouTube yesterday, and there was a YouTube that was explaining a plane crash. I geek out on these things. It's just something I do. And what they figured out is that the pilots were distracted, and they didn't properly get their airplane ready for takeoff right before they took off. And because they didn't have everything in place, as soon as the airplane left the ground, it just lost control and crashed. And there was a warning that should have sounded. There was an alarm that should have gone off to tell the pilots that this was a problem, that their airplane was not configured correctly for takeoff, except that it was annoying. And so they pulled the fuse. And this is a kind of a human thing that we do. When something is annoying, when something bothers us, when something just constantly is in our way, instead of listening to it, a lot of times we just try to shut it up. Turn it off, disable it. And that's what these people are doing right. That's what Jesus is talking about with the people in Jerusalem. Because the people in Jerusalem, the Jewish people, the people of Judah, the people of Israel, they fell into all kinds of different sins. And God, out of his love for them, wanting to draw them back into a relationship with him, wanting to fix what is wrong, he comes to them and he says, listen, come back to me. Turn away from that sin, turn away from the thing that is trying to lead you into death, and come back to me. And these prophets were annoying. I mean, they would like sit on the street corner, and they would end up coming before the king, and they would end up, you know, condemning the people, the leaders of the church, and it was embarrassing to have these people walking around causing all this hullabaloo. And finally, the Jewish people would get so sick of hearing this warning symbol, this warning sign, this thing that God is sending to as an alarm to tell them that they're heading toward death, is that they would kill them, to shut them up. Because after all, who wants to hear that all the time? Good thing we don't do that kind of thing. Except we do, right? I mean, how many times do we, when we have a Bible passage that is laid in front of us that is terribly uncomfortable and something we don't like, how often do we dive into that passage to figure it out and to understand it as deeply as possible? Or do we just turn away from it and say, well, I don't really understand that. Don't really want to deal with that. It's not something I'm comfortable with. I think we're just going to not talk about that for now, right? And the thing is that those, you know, in the Old Testament time and in the New Testament time, when they had the prophets and the apostles that were running around in your face saying, "Hey, look, this is the truth. This is what is. This is," and we say, "Well, you know, we don't have that quite so bad today. I mean, because, you know, I mean, you know, pastor on Sunday, I can get in your face a little bit and talk, but, you know, we're kind of nice around here. We don't get really harsh." And then if you have any, like, parents or siblings are really good at this kind of thing, when they see you going the wrong way, that they love you enough to say something, maybe not in the most kind and sensitive way, but they say something, and then what do? Tell them to buy in their own business, right? Or we remember all the times that they did a similar thing, so we don't really have to listen to them because they're just as guilty as we are. And we find a way to silence the messenger, to make it so that we don't have to listen to this anymore, because after all, listening to this is not comfortable. It's forcing us to look at ourselves and to look at the things that we have done wrong and the reason that we do those things wrong, those inner sins, that sin that goes right to the core of ourself, that selfishness or that pride that we want to feel good about ourselves. Thus, we don't want to hear about anybody talking about the things that we do wrong. And so, you know, I mean, we're a little bit more refined than the Jewish people were in the Old Testament, where they actually killed the prophets. We just silence them, ignore them, justify our own position, and go on with life, which in the end is about the same thing. We don't want to hear the message, and so we tune it out and shut it down. But the message isn't less the message because we've refused to listen to it. God's judgment on our behavior, God's judgment on our pride, God's judgment on our selfishness, our lack of love for God and for the people in this world, the people that he has put us around with the mission of loving them, it's not acceptable to him. He's not okay with that. You know, a lot of times in our church, I think we focus so much on grace and love that we forget the intensity and the insidious nature, the corruptive nature, the way that our sin can distance us from God. And it's not the sin, it's not the action that distances us, it's the choice of sin. It's when we walk into a situation and we know, I know God wants me to do this, but I really like that. So now I have a choice to make. Am I going to choose to do what God wants me to do? Out of love and devotion to him for all that he has done for me? Or am I going to choose to walk in another direction? Right? Am I going to turn my back on what I know he wants and do my own thing? And when we do that, what are we doing except the opposite of worship, right? I mean, worship is acknowledging God as God, that he is my Lord, that he is my Savior, that he is the one who's redeemed me. He is the one who has made everything right for me. I wear his righteousness, and because I get his righteousness, I am acceptable to the Father and have eternal life. And because he has done such great things for me, I will love him and obey him and follow him all the days of my life, right? This is what worship is. We receive from God all his love and amazing grace and mercy and provision, and then we return grateful thanks and praise to him because of who he is and what he is and what he has done for us. Or we can choose to sin, right? Well, and the question is, well, if I choose to sin, is there any problem with that? I mean, after all, we're forgiven, right? There's nothing wrong with sinning. You can be forgiven and go right back to living life, and it's not a problem at all. Is that true? Does God forgive us? Is it true that sin is not a big deal? It's not at all true. I mean, one thing Jesus does not say about our sin, when we fall into sin and when we come back to Jesus and we repent and we're just like, Lord, I just blew it again, does Jesus say, I forgive you? Does he say, that's okay? No, he does not say that's okay. He says, I forgive you. And what we have to understand about forgiveness is this. Forgiveness is not making light of the sin. Forgiveness is understanding the depth of the sin, the painfulness of the sin, the hurt that was caused, the fact that according to playground rules, I should get revenge. You know what I'm saying? That you owe me because you did something wrong to me, right? That if you punched me in the nose, I should get to punch you in the nose. That there is reciprocity, that there is a debt, that there is something that, and here's the thing, what forgiveness is this. I say, listen, in spite of the depth of the sin, in spite of the hurt that was caused, in spite of all of the ramifications and all of the things that come along with that sin, I forgive you. And this is what Jesus came for. Jesus came to forgive us because our sin was so huge. He came because we were lost. He came because we were totally messed up. And because he loved us anyway, he chose to take the punishment for us and to suffer and die on the cross. He chose to take it all. And then he says, listen, you want to be like me? Forgive. Forgive as I've forgiven you. Love as I have loved you. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. See how these things are paired? They're connected. There's a cause and effect. If we are forgiven, then we will forgive. And we will do what God wants us to do. We will live the way he wants us to live. Because of all that we have received from him, we want to do better. And so Jesus says, he goes, when he's tempted, don't finish, run away. And Jesus says, no, not running away. I am going to finish the course. I am going to do this. It's why I came. I am finishing. I am going to do the will of the one who sent me, and I am going to make this happen because these people, even though they aren't faithful, even though they mess up, even though they don't deserve it, I am going to finish it for them. That is what this text is all about. That he is doing all of this for us, not making light of the law of our sin, not removing the law from us so that we don't have to feel bad about it, but giving us the forgiveness we need so that we can stand before God in the last day, so that we can pray to him and that he will hear us, so that we will be his children on this earth, so that we have the promise of God that he will be with us always, that he loves us no matter what. This is the Jesus that we follow. And so, my friends, as we go through Lent, I want to encourage you. It's so easy to jump right to the gospel. It's the most comfortable thing to do, right? To just know kind of on some sort of theoretical level, yes, I'm a sinner. Okay, we're done with that. Now let's get to grace, right? The thing is that the Bible tells us that somebody who is forgiven little loves little. But someone who is forgiven much loves much. Now the fact is we've all sinned a ton. But I think sometimes if we don't actually take time to think about our sin, we forget how deeply sinful we are. And thus we respond with God, to God's incredible grace by loving little. And so as we go through this Lenten season, I want to encourage you to love much. And to help us remember, we have one of our dear members at our church loves to do things with her hands, and she made these crosses, and they're really adorable, wonderful little crosses. But what I want to do is I want to hand them out as a reminder this Lenten season that we would actually take time to meditate on our sin. That at the end of the day, we would sit down, and instead of thinking about all the things that somebody did to you, you would think about all the things that you did to them. You know what I'm saying? That instead of justifying all the decisions and choices and things that you've done this day, that you would instead face all the things that you've done this day. And again, not just think about them as a surface thing, as a, well, you know what, I cut somebody off on the highway, but think about what that means. That I'm better, smarter, faster, more important than that person that I cut off. And think about what you're actually saying by your actions. So that when we come to God for forgiveness, we're coming to God for a rich and deep forgiveness from a very, very ugly place of sin. And so I'll be handing those out after the service today. And I encourage you guys to take one. Put it someplace prominent, you know, someplace you're going to see it, someplace and to be disciplined about setting some time aside for this, because it actually takes time to stop and think. It means we're going to have to shut off some noises around us. I always walk around with earbuds in, listening to podcasts or books on tape or whatever. We got to shut it off and give God some time this Lenten season. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you. Thank you that you have made us your children. Thank you that you reached out and love us regardless, Lord, of what we deserve. Lord, I pray that you would continue to help us to grow in a relationship with you, to know you better, to be able to understand who we are, Lord, so that we can really, truly, fully appreciate the incredible grace and forgiveness that you have for us. And so that we can live in the joy of knowing that our sins are covered. That as far as the east is from the west, so far our sins removed from us. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. My friends, let us continue our worship by singing. And as we sing, I ask that you would record your attendance in the folders that you'll find near your seats. And let us bring glory and praise to our God.
One day in your house, better
My friends, we have been blessed by God and his revelation of himself to us in Holy Scripture. As we are gathered here in his presence, let us confess the faith that we have learned from the words of Scripture and talk about who God is and who he has revealed himself to be. Let us do this using the explanation of the first article of the Apostles' Creed. Please stand as we confess our faith. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all that I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger, guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. My friends, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We thank you that you have made it possible for us to be here. I pray that so many times, but it is such a miracle that we can be in your house, in your presence, receiving your love and forgiveness and grace only possible because of your intervention into this world, Lord, by your being born, living a perfect life on our behalf so that we can have your perfect life credited to us. And you take credit for our sin, suffer and die, and that you rise again to give us new life. Lord, what an incredible miracle. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be able to meditate, Lord, to understand, to be able to take the time to think about what an incredible miracle that is, what an incredible thing it is that we can be here in your presence as your children. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work among us, Lord, as we do your work in this world, Lord. Help us, Lord, to respond to your grace and the mercy that we have received from you by turning about and loving the people around us. Help us, Lord, to love selflessly. Help us to love intelligently with wisdom so that the people that we loved are blessed. And that we are not afraid to sacrifice, Lord, just as you sacrificed for us, but that we would give freely of the things that you have given us so that other people may also know of your love, know of your grace, know of your forgiveness, and know of the eternity, Lord, that you are preparing for all who trust in you. Lord, I pray that you would continue to shore up, Lord, all the ministries of our church. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we love people in our community, as we love the children that you have entrusted to us, as we love their families, as we love each other, Lord, encouraging and uplifting one another in the faith, Lord, so that all will be continued to grow, Lord, in relationship with you, that as the difficulties of life increase over time, that we will be prepared because of the work that you are doing through and among us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all those in leadership, that you would help them to be wise, help them, Lord, to make decisions that are going to bring glory to you and help the people, Lord, that you love know that they are loved. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all those who are in authority outside of our congregation, Lord, political leaders, police, firefighters, all those people, Lord, that you have given to serve us. I pray that you would be with them, that you would give them wisdom, that you would encourage them in their faith, Lord, or bring them to faith so that they can make decisions that will bring glory to you as well. Lord, all these things we ask in the name of your name, Lord, and we pray the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, given for you, this do, in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Lord, to live out my life through your
God has come to us again today in his body and blood. In spite of our sin, in spite of our not deserving it, he has given us forgiveness once again, delivering to us that forgiveness that he earned for us on the cross. My friends, as our God is faithful, his promise is good. Depart in peace, knowing that he is faithful. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song together. It's another song of confession, of knowing our Savior.
Atoning sacrifice.
Please have a seat. All right, my friends, a few announcements as we go our ways. First of all, Wednesday night, we are not having a Lenten lunch or dinner. I guess that would be dinner. But the reason is that if you notice, we have a whole bunch of big containers out here. The book fair is coming to St. Mark's School. And so we are, since everything is going to be set up in the church lobby, it's just going to make having that dinner kind of difficult, not being able to be there. All right, so that's not going to be happening Wednesday, but we will still have Wednesday night services. Both the family the service for the early bedtimes and the service led by Pastor Dar. Family meeting is April 24th. I announced that wrong last week. It's actually a change, but there it is, the 24th of April. And Rachel's going to continue to be collecting diapers for her project until next Sunday. So next Sunday is the last Sunday for that. With that, I'd like to have Joni Doshley come forward at this time. She's got a thing to say.
I guess you've seen the nice poster up there. It says LWML, Lutheran Women in Mission. I had two questions the last few weeks. One question was, well, I don't know what that LWML is. I don't belong to that. But you do. At least if you're a woman, you do. Every woman in the church is part of our LWML ministry. And LWML is part of women's ministry. And women's ministry is part of St. Mark's ministry. So you're all part of it. And I'm not real sure what that what's your 80 is, but you know what? LWML is 80 years old this year. Now, I've been in it a long time, but I haven't been in it 80 years. I might. Wouldn't that be great if I would be in it 80 years? That'd be wonderful. So that's the first question, and I hope I've answered it for you. I wanted to just mention that our LWML vision statement is, the LWML is the leading group for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Women, where each woman is welcomed and encouraged to use her unique God-given gifts as she supports global missions and serves the Lord with gladness. Psalm 100, verse 2. The second question that I got was, why is it that you're always asking for money? And I thought about it. I said, well, you know, we do. We do ask for money. Well, why do we ask for money? Maybe you don't know. We've got one of these little boxes out underneath the dove, and we put our little mites in it, and somebody said, well, what are mites? And of course, if you know the story of the widow's mite, you know that she gave just a little bit of money, just a little mite, but it was all she had. And so we do ask for those little mites. And now I'm going to show you something that is so special. It's going to tell you why we do this and why we collect our mites and what a blessing this is for all of us. Thank you for all of your help with our LWML ministry. And we're going to celebrate again March 26th, right there in your bulletin. It tells you about this great event that we're going to have. We're having Carrie Portell, right there's her picture. She's written a book about facing life head on. And in these times that we have every day, we're facing times head on. So please come sign up at the Connection Desk for our March 26th event. It's Saturday morning. We're having a free breakfast brunch. And if you know me, you know I like food. So we're having quiche and sausage and ham and fruit, and it's all free. So please come March 26th, that Saturday morning, and to hear Carrie tell us about her life's faith and faith journey. Thank you very much. Yes.
All right, my friends, it's been wonderful worshiping with you guys all this morning. If anybody wants individual prayer, Steve Mangrum, one of our elders, is ready to pray with you in the prayer chapel today. And the rest of you, I will see you in the back. Don't forget to pick up your cross on the way out so that we can remember our sin and remember the grace of God that is even bigger, right? Excellent. God's blessings on your week.